Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host, Avik. And as you all know that on Healthy Mind and Healthy Life, we explore unlocking your potential and living with a purpose. So today we are joined by Tommy Z. So welcome to the show, Tommy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lovely, lovely. So Tommy, like before we start our conversation, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Tommy is a former banker turned award-winning music producer and the creative entrepreneur. Like from prestigious brands to mentoring musicians worldwide. So his journey is nothing short of inspiring. So join us as we uncover the keys to creativity, clarity, and growth with one and only Tommy Z. So welcome to the show again, Tommy.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Lovely, lovely. So Tommy, like to start with, if you can share with us your journey from Bay Street banker to award-winning music producer and creative entrepreneur. Like, how did you discover your unique calling along this path?
Sure. So I basically began my professional career, as I like to call it, operating on default settings of reality, meaning that I just proceeded chapter after chapter within my journey the way that everyone normally does. So you go to school, you get a diploma, you try to get a good job, and then you try to get a promotion and so on and so forth. And so that's what I did. You know, I went to school, I got my degree in political science and communications. I ended up working at the head office of a major North American bank, riding the subway to the head office downtown Toronto, riding the elevator to the 37th floor of the head office. And initially, you know, it was exciting, I might even say. I mean, I had a fancy business card. I had a very, you know, secure and safe and I don't want to say prestigious, but, you know, you could say that I was feeling special, that I worked for a big company, you know, in a downtown Toronto. But I believe that, you know, everybody is born with a certain calling, a certain frequency, a certain predisposition for doing certain things. And sometimes those that calling, that predisposition is just covered up by operating on autopilot, which is what I was doing. I was just doing what I thought you should do, which is go through those stages in life, school, job, promotion. And I think that if people tune in to this, you know, thing I call life detector, they will realize that there may be times in their life when even though they thought they're doing everything they thought they should do, they might not feel like they are in the right place. They might not feel like whichever road they took is actually bringing them closer to who they believe they truly are on the inside.
Sure.
And for some of us, you know, this happens later on in life when you're very much down the road. I know a lot of lawyers, for instance, who thought it was a great idea to be a lawyer. But then when they started practicing law, they realized, wait a minute, this is not at all what I think I should be doing. And so I had those feelings. I had to start exploring what is it that I truly believe I should be doing? What is the environment that I want to be a part of? And I needed to go through that process of self-discovery, which took me a few years. And then I started implementing the steps to try to move myself closer to what I believed was more of my calling, which was the creative industry, which was actually, creating things and not just managing things, which was more being in a creative environment and not in an office environment, for instance. All those things I had to figure out and actually start figuring out a way to make them true in my life.
True. So that's really what I say. Like it really happens when someone joins. I mean, what to say? Like it's a corporate or maybe a big company. They feel like yes, I have done something. But it is true. Like what you have mentioned, it's really really true. It happens. So. On this, you have also produced like over 1,000 campaigns for the prestigious brands across three continents. Am I correct, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, if you can tell us like about a project that particularly resonated with you, and if so, then why?
Oh, I've had so many interesting projects, but some of them that come to mind were, for instance, where we worked with a big brand to try to figure out what is their sound, the sound that they will be known for.
Oh, sound also.
So not just, let's say, a music in a commercial or a campaign, but like what will be their brand sound that you will hear at the end of every commercial, that you will hear when maybe you call their helpline, the sound that they will be known for. I think those were probably the most interesting projects because you really had to figure out how the brand expresses themselves, who the brand is, everything that the brand does visually, how it presents itself to people visually, for instance. How do you translate that into a sound that people will remember? So there's so many examples of sounds that everybody knows. If you listen to or if you watch Star Wars, everyone knows the sound of Darth Vader's voice or the sound of the R2-D2. Those are legendary sounds. And so I've had a chance in my career to work with some big brands on try to defining their sound. And I think one of the most interesting ones was creating a sound for UBS, which is a very well-known bank, Swiss bank.
Swiss
A
bank,
lot of, yeah, where a lot of rich people put their money. That's what the bank is known for. A lot of famous actors and entrepreneurs. And so, they try to figure out, okay, what is the sound? How can we use sound to have a signature that everybody will know that this is us? And so, we had to go through a process to try to learn about their brand, their heritage, their history, the way they present themselves, who they talk to. Because everybody knows the sound of McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, right? That's a global sound. Everybody knows the sound. But a bank where affluent people put their money is not the same as a fast food restaurant. So we're speaking to different clientele, different people, and we need to be aware of that. So our end solution in the end was to figure out three beautiful, rich sounding piano chords so that they do not sound like a very simplistic melody that you might hear at McDonald's, for instance, but rather that is something a little more sophisticated, but without being, stiff or without being too sophisticated, meaning that it goes over your head, or maybe it's too deep. So we found the right balance. We found three chords that we felt were very nice and rich and deep, with a beautiful progression. And then what we did is we took those three chords and we recorded them on the biggest, according to the Guinness World Book of Records, the biggest piano in the world. Yes. Wow. So that was actually the story. And this is why the project was a little more interesting than just providing a music for a commercial, because number one, we had to explore how do we express the melody, and then what is so special about the story. And that was finding a piano which was built by a master piano builder who was really on a quest to create the best sounding piano in the world, which also happened to be the biggest piano in the world. So we recorded those three chords. They became a part of the UBS signature, which is heard still today. When you watch their commercials or their films.
Okay.
And that's probably one of the highlights of my career as a music producer, because it was such an interesting project.
Wow. That's really lovely. And I understood, like, it's you are actually talking about Sonic branding, right?
That's right.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. Exactly. Exactly. That's really, really awesome. I totally agree with you. So because particular brand must have, like, a particular brand have their tone, so same way they also so they also does their sonic branding as well. So that's very, very important, and which I believe it keeps a lasting impact on the minds of the listeners or minds of the people who are attached to that brand. So that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone has a unique sound.
Yeah.
And it's the sound of your voice.
True.
But because the human because human beings we're all born unique, but a brand is something that is manufactured.
True.
In order for it to relate to human beings, it has to come as close as it can to being to feeling like a human being, you know? So it has to have its own look, its own feel,
True.
Its own voice, its own story, and so on and so forth.
Exactly. Understood. So how do you balance the artistic side of music production with the demands of running a successful business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that you have to create a distinction between being an artist and being a craftsperson. And I think the difference is that when you're an artist, you create according to your own vision, and you may not necessarily care about what the marketplace has to say. You may not care, like Vincent van Gogh, whether anybody buys your painting. I mean, he really wanted someone to buy his paintings, but he wasn't willing to do something different so that people buy his paintings. And in that sense, I think he was really a pure artist.
Yeah.
Of course, then we have a spectrum. If you move a little bit closer to the other side, you might find a commercial artist. So this is someone like Damien Hirst, who will want to make millions from his art. So he will, in a clever way, combine his artistry, but he will also know what people are willing to buy. He will market himself, and you know, he will be very savvy in order to make sure that his exhibitions and his art actually sells and is priced and auctioned for millions of dollars. And then if you move even further down the spectrum, you have what you call a craftsperson, meaning that you may have an artistic gift, an artistic talent, but you're willing to rent your talent in exchange for money to someone that needs something done. It could be a table.
Sure.
It could be a painting. It could be a piece of music. But you're willingly and consciously willing to basically trade your talent for a commission. And so when it comes to, you know, working with brands, I don't ever put myself in the shoes of the artist. Yes, there is some artistry that we do. Yes, there are artistic elements to what we do. But ultimately, our solution has to be something that is effective for the brand, something that actually drives possibly even a business result. And so this is why I call what we do creative craftsmanship. It is just trading your artistic ability in exchange for a very tangible service that the brand is willing and able to pay you for. And of course, you move on the spectrum with every project. Sometimes the projects are more artistic, and sometimes they're less artistic. But this is essentially how I view, what we do. And then I always tell artists, like, the more money someone pays you, in my mind, if you're willing to do the project, the more you might be willing to say, okay, I'm not going to be a pure artist on this. I'm not even going to put my real name on it. I'm simply going to give them something beautiful in exchange for issuing a beautiful invoice. The less money they pay you, you might say, well, if you're not going to pay me much money, then I want to be an artist on this. I want to create something that will be according to my vision. Because you're not paying me so much, that is the exchange that I want. I want to do something that I will gladly put in my portfolio with my name on it, which may not be exactly what you want, but you're not exactly bringing me a big budget, so let's make that trade-off. And that's the way I see it.
Yeah, that's also very true. So, how do you believe that daily mindset practices contribute to unlocking the creativity and clarity in one's work and the life? So, what do you say?
Yeah, I think you have to carve out a slice of silence in your everyday. You have to be able to tune into your own vision for what your life is going to look like personally and professionally, because the world will be happy to tell you what it wants from you, and you can get lost in your email inbox and all the demands that are coming in from the outside. But ultimately, I believe that that's not a way to happiness, because you were created free and you were created with an ability to choose, but you can only make these choices to the degree that you're feeling free to make those choices. So there are, a lot of people running around and they feel like they're stuck. They feel like they have lots of emails and lots of tasks. But ultimately, it is really up to them to decide, what their vision for life is going to be. And it's really hard to do that if you don't stop, if you don't extract yourself from the noise, if you don't take at least, I would say even 5 minutes in your day to sit down and try to think about, okay, if I work backwards from the end, meaning, if people come to my funeral, what would they say about me? Would they say, well, he was a nice guy? That's all they might say if all you do is spend your life answering emails inside of your inbox. But I think we aspire to much more than that. And really, no one is going to help us to unlock that unless we take the first step. And I think most of us hunger for a deeper life, for a more fulfilling life, for a life that culminates with someone at your funeral saying, well, we all know who this person was. We know their work. We know what they stood for. They will be missed because there was a unique contribution there. So the unique contribution really does require a unique approach. You have to do things differently than what the world might even suggest you do. And you have to have the courage to stand apart from the world and say, well, this might work for others, but now that I have tuned into myself, I know that this is something that I must do, and I must do it in my own way. And the degree to which you can do that, I think, is a degree to which you will be contented with your life.
Got it. So, what daily rituals or routines do you personally practice to maintain that focus and inspiration in your creative endeavors?
Right. So, my deepest belief is that the universe is not an accident, that there are certain laws, that there is a higher intelligence that is responsible for putting things into creation and into motion. And so if that is a belief of mine, then it would naturally follow that if this intelligence is higher than my intelligence, then surely I want to tune into and draw power and inspiration and direction even from this intelligence as much as possible. So the first thing I do in my day is silence, a few minutes of silence, a few minutes of prayer, and a few minutes of just trying to expand my awareness into the fact that reality is much more than what's happening in my head at any given moment. Those things that are happening in my head are very, they seem very real and they seem very strong. And there's a lot of pressure to just start your day by running away with what your brain or your mind tells you to do. But it's very important to understand that at the time that there are things that are happening in your mind, first thing in your day, at the same time, the earth is rotating around a planet that is on fire, without which life on earth wouldn't be possible. And all these things are happening with mathematical precision at the time when you're worried about the things that you have to do today. So I find that just expanding your awareness to the fact that you are on this planet, which is rotating around another planet, which is on fire, and you're not falling off, is quite an astounding and astonishing fact of existence. And one which, if we tune into it, can really allow us to have a bigger perspective, a more inspired perspective. A perspective where you realize that if that is possible, what else is possible? And you know, if I'm an actor here in this drama, what could my story be beyond the things that my mind is telling me I should be doing? You know, is there a wider, a bigger, a more inspiring picture? So that's the first thing I try to do. That's the soul part. Then I move on to the body. I think it's important that you move your body. So I like to either go for long walks or I like to get on my bike and read something inspiring. That way I'm not only getting my heart rate up, but I'm also feeding my brain with some interesting, inspiring knowledge that can help me to maybe to do things in better ways. And if I can do those three things in the morning, meaning silence, meditation, prayer, then movement of the body, and learning something, reading something while I'm on the bike. That's why I like the bike, because I can't read when I'm walking, but I can perhaps listen to a good podcast. But if I can do those three things, mind, body, and soul, feeding my mind, feeding my soul, feeding my body, I know that my day, whatever follows, will be much more creative, much more inspired, much better as far as choices than if I just rush into the day without taking time to exercise my mind, body, and soul.
I think that's great, I would say. In your experience, what role does persistence and resilience play in pursuing one's unique calling? So what do you say?
Well, I think that whatever your unique calling is, I think it deserves persistence and resilience on your part. I always like to point out that the word passion takes its root from the Latin word passio, which if you look it up, it means literally suffering. So I think if you look at the lives of remarkable people, they weren't always smiling. But their life wasn't driven by their need to smile. Their life was driven by their need to carry out what they believed was their life's work, which came with a lot of hardships, which came with a lot of sacrifices. But a calling is something much more than a wish or just a dream. A calling is something that you really must do. And I just think that when you tap into your true calling in a real way, the resilience and the persistence are going to happen naturally. And if you're just following someone else's dream or what you think you should be doing, I think you might have a real tough time with your persistence or resilience, because willpower can only take you so far. But you will always be bypassed, not bypassed, but you will always be passed by people who are tapped into their true calling, which will make their resilience and persistence natural. They will be willing to suffer for what they believe they should be doing. And I think that is a beautiful thing. It doesn't always come with a smile, but I do think at the end of this journey, it does come with a feeling that you have done what you were supposed to do, and that is the best thing that you could have done with your life.
Yeah. That's lovely. Thanks for mentioning this. It's really, really great. Yeah. So before we wrap up, like, looking ahead, what do you envision for the future?
You know, I like to think of who am I on my way to becoming, rather than things or external accomplishments, which I used to look forward to when I was younger. But now what interests me is what am I going to do with this day? Because this is the only thing that I know that I have. I don't know if there, what kind of a future I'm going to have. I don't know how many years there are going to be in this future. I'm not so worried about that. What I'm interested in is who do I want to become? Who do I want to be to my family? Who do I want to be to the people around me? Who do I want to be in relation to my creator? So this divine intelligence that created me, those are things that I'm interested in. And so because I cannot work on anything other than this day, I'm going to try to keep my day simple and just do the kind of things that I believe will make me stronger toward the person that I wish to become. A more resilient, for instance, person, a more persistent kind of person, a more focused person, a person who is able to keep the right perspective. So, for instance, not stressing about things that don't matter. But instead, just putting all of my energy into the things, more so people than things that do matter. And so that's been my perspective lately about keeping the day as a unit of time that I can do something about. And then rather than worrying about accomplishments or things, putting my perspective more around who is it that I want to become and what kind of actions can I do that will allow me to get closer to the ideal vision of who I want to become.
Sure. Exactly. Great. So thank you so much, Tommy, for joining us today and sharing your insights. And for the listeners, I would love to mention that always remember that unlocking your unique calling and living a life of purpose requires dedication, daily practice, and a commitment to your vision. So by embracing those daily mindset practices and cultivating the creativity, clarity, and growth, you can definitely bring your dreams to life. So thank you so
Absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So thank you so much, dear listeners, for joining us today. And if you have found this episode valuable, please, please consider sharing with others who may benefit from its message. So stay tuned for more empowering conversations on Healthy Mind and Healthy Life, where we continue to explore the keys to unlocking your full potential and living a life of purpose and the fulfillment. But before we move on, I would definitely love to ask Tommy, if you want to share something with the listeners, or maybe how they can find you if they want to connect with you.
Sure. I'll make it very simple. You can go to TommyZ.com. And the best way to basically follow me is to get on the email list, and then whatever I think is most inspiring and valuable, you will receive in your inbox through my email list. So TommyZ.com, and you'll see where you can sign up.
Oh, lovely. That's great. So what I'll do, I'll also mention this into the show notes so that it'll be much easier for all of you to reach out to him. And with this, until next time, keep cultivating your visionary rhythms and embracing your unique calling. So till then, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.